The Diary of a Sheep by Sarah Trent. So I saw the wolf today. He was far off, just watching. He seemed small, standing so far away. I didn't see the teeth I'd heard about, but I ran close to the shepherd anyway. Even though it seemed there was nothing to fear, I felt better beside him, safer, more secure. And when I looked back over my shoulder, the wolf was gone. Entry 2. I saw the wolf today. He was closer this time, but not too close. He still didn't look very big. He wasn't as scary as I was expecting now that he was a little closer. No teeth that I could see. He just watched as though the scene before him was relaxing. Maybe he wasn't so bad. But I stayed near the shepherd, just in case. Entry 3. I saw the wolf today. He was closer than last time. I moved a little closer to him, just to look at him. I wanted to see if he really had teeth, like they said. I could run before he could get me, right? He looked a little bigger this time, maybe because he was closer, and so was I. But before I could get too close, the shepherd scooped me up and rebuked me for being so close to a predator. Maybe he was just overreacting. The wolf seemed peaceful. His nearness didn't bother me like it once did. But I let the shepherd carry me away anyway. Entry 4. I saw the wolf today. He was closer, but he still seemed so harmless. I edged closer than last time. He was bigger today, but still so peaceful. Maybe he just wanted to be friends, and the shepherd had just misunderstood him. I was so close, I could see him clearly. I still didn't see these teeth. The shepherd had probably only told us that to keep us from wandering away. I hadn't gone far. I could still see the flock. That warning was probably meant for sheep who weren't as mature as I was. My nose touched the wolf, and he rose to his feet. And he was much larger than I expected. His mouth opened, and I saw the teeth. The dreadful, horrible snarl. The shepherd had been right, but it was too late. He sank his teeth into me and began to drag me away. I tried to cry out, but the teeth I had sworn the shepherd had exaggerated were wrapped around my neck. I couldn't make a sound. I had fallen for the trick, all because I doubted the shepherd. Entry 5. I saw the shepherd today. Finally! The wolf hadn't devoured me the way I expected. He had toyed with me, wounded me, torn pieces from me. But he hadn't expected the shepherd to come for one sheep. The shepherd moved in quickly, and the wolf tried to convince him that I was too far gone, that I had doubted him, that I was no longer useful or valuable, part of the flock. The shepherd didn't answer. He simply defeated the wolf without hesitation. Maybe he would leave me here. It was my fault. Maybe this was my punishment. I would simply lie here until I died. But then I felt his hands gently wrap around me, and he lifted me onto his shoulders. The wolf didn't win, he whispered softly. When he returned me to the flock, he dressed my wounds. He told me that one day my voice would heal, and I would warn others of the dangers of the wolf. So I stayed near him, never letting him get far from me again. And one day, just as he said, my voice rang loudest when warning others about the predators. Entry 6. I saw the wolf today. He looked small, innocent, misunderstood. But my voice rang out anyway. This flock will never trust a wolf, not on my watch. Now, these diary entries were written by Sarah Trent, and they're powerful because they remind us that we are just like the sheep that she described. We all have moments when we think that we are better or we know better than our shepherd. When the wolf doesn't seem too dangerous and God's boundaries seem unnecessary, why would he have those things in place? Yet the story isn't ultimately about a wandering sheep. It's about a faithful shepherd. That's why one of God's names is Yahweh Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't just lead his sheep. He protects them, searches for them when they wander, carries them when they're wounded, and restores them to the flock. And as we look at Psalm 23 today, we'll discover that this name reveals the heart of God for his people. He is the shepherd that every sheep so desperately needs. As Pastor Daniel had shared before from this quote from John Mark Comer, I think it's worth mentioning again because it reminds us that when we study the names of God, we're not just learning new information about him, we're also uncovering what we truly believe about him. Do we know the character of God? Have we experienced the character of God in our lives? The way that we see God shapes the way that we trust him, know him, pray to him, and follow him. John Mark Comer puts it this way: often what we believe about God says more about us than it does about God. Our theology is like a mirror to the soul. It shows us what's deep inside. So as we explore what it means for God to be Yahweh Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, my prayer is that we'll allow him not only to teach us about his character, but also to gently reveal the places where our view of him needs to be shaped by his truth, rather than by our experiences or assumptions. Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us see your truth. You are Yahweh Rohi, the Lord who is our shepherd. Help us to see this as we dive in today. If the Lord is shepherd, then what does that mean for us? That means that we are the sheep. This is our relationship. Did you know that sheep are similar to humans in some ways? They do actually have emotions similar to humans. Many studies have highlighted that sheep can experience fear or anger or boredom or sadness or happiness. And not only can they feel these basic emotions, but their feelings can be very complex. And each sheep actually has its very own personality. Did you know that an individual sheep can remember up to 50 different faces for as long as 2 years? Now, while it is true that sheep often blindly follow each other, sometimes to their own detriment, that is actually a highly adaptive trait for the sheep because they are prey animals whose primary defense against predators is staying together as a flock. So if a predator is threatening the flock, deciding to run off on your own is probably not a good idea. So this strong flock mentality means that sheep are highly social animals that form strong relationships with one another. Sheep become frightened and confused when they are left alone. So staying with a flock and staying with their shepherd is what makes them feel safe and secure. Now, I am no expert on sheep. These are just facts that I discovered while researching sheep online. But David didn't need to study them before writing this psalm. He actually knew them firsthand. Many Bible scholars believe that David wrote Psalm 23 near the end of his life, after he had become king. And looking back over the years, he could clearly see God's faithful care and provision through every season of his life. David wrote those words not from a life full of comfort or ease, but actually one marked by danger, betrayal, grief, failure, and uncertainty. He had faced lions and bears while tending to his sheep. He had defeated Goliath as a young man with God's help. He had spent years fleeing from King Saul, and endured the heartache of family conflict and experiences the consequences as well of his own sin. He knew what it meant to be hunted, he knew what it was to experience fear, and he also knew loss. But through every season, David discovered that God had been leading, protecting him, providing for him, and remaining faithful to him all along. And that is why David could declare, "The Lord is my shepherd." David starts off the psalm with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." We hear that phrase so often, maybe you've even said it many times yourself, and it's easy to miss how remarkable these words actually are. Here, when he's saying this, he's not just describing the role of who God is, but he's revealing the very character of who God is. The name Yahweh Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, reveals that God is a God who cares for his people, personally, faithfully, and intimately. Notice here that when we read it, it doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. There is a significant difference in that. David isn't just making a general statement about who he thinks that God is. He's actually describing this personal relationship that he has felt himself in his life. He is saying, I know God, and I know God's character. I know that God is the one who leads me, who guides me, who watches over me, who protects me, who cares for me. And when David calls him Yahweh Rohi, he is saying that the God who created him is also the God who shepherds him. The Almighty God is not distant or detached. He is the shepherd who draws near to his people. Yahweh Rohi reveals God's character. Looking back over his life, David recognized that consistently God had revealed himself as a shepherd. Right? He had provided for him, cared for him, protected him, guided him. Everything that David had done in his own life when he was a shepherd boy and responsible for his own sheep, God had done for David in an even greater way. David had been the shepherd, but now he recognized that he himself was a sheep under the care of the great shepherd, Yahweh Rohi. That is why David can declare as well, I lack nothing. Now, this doesn't mean that David is saying that he believes he will always have everything that he wants in life or that life is going to be very easy, because it wasn't. David had experienced hardship and danger and loss and grief and uncertainty throughout his life. But he still remembered that his deepest needs were secure because the Lord was his shepherd. A sheep doesn't just say, I lack nothing, because it has control over its environment or because there are no dangers around. A sheep is content because it trusts the shepherd who cares for it. The shepherd knows where to lead, when to provide rest, how to protect from danger, and what the sheep needs each day. Friends, do you trust Yahweh Rohi, the Lord your shepherd, to guide you in those ways? David knew that God's presence was far greater than any of the problems that he would ever face. He did not have to live in fear that he would be forgotten, abandoned, or left to provide for himself. The shepherd who called him, led him, and cared for him would remain faithful and would keep true to his promise. Therefore, David could rest with confidence, not because he knew what tomorrow would bring, but because he knew who would be with him in every tomorrow. This same promise is echoed in the New Testament. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And God is assuring his people of that. David was a king, and he described himself as a shepherd. He had already experienced power, success, and influence, and he was no longer the overlooked shepherd boy watching his father's flocks in the field. He was the king of Israel. Yet he understood that even with all of his authority, all of his power, all of his accomplishments that he had, he was still utterly dependent on God. As a sheep depends on a shepherd for their many needs, David acknowledged his dependence on the Lord. Do we also acknowledge our dependence on the Lord? The dependence of the sheep points to the faithfulness and ability of the shepherd. Sheep are not at peace because they are independent. They are at peace because they are under the care of someone who knows what they need. A sheep does not have to carry the burden of finding the perfect pasture, defending itself from every threat, or knowing every step of the journey ahead. The shepherd is the one who carries that responsibility. The sheep's role, our role, is to stay close, listen, and follow. That is the relationship David is describing with God. This is the heart of Yahweh Rohi, who tenderly cares for his sheep. Now, David knew this with confidence that he belonged to God. He knew his identity. And Psalm 100 reminds us that the same is true for every believer. If we acknowledge that the Lord is God, that he made us, that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. We are his. The shepherd's care begins with ownership. He is not caring for strangers. He is caring for his own. As Charles Spurgeon, a preacher before, explains, a sheep is an object of property, not a wild animal. Its owner sets great store by it. And frequently, it is bought with a great price. The same is true for each of us who are representative of those sheep. God's care is a promise he repeatedly demonstrates throughout Scripture. This picture of God as shepherd becomes especially meaningful in Ezekiel 34, At this point in Israel's history, the nation was experiencing the consequences of years of rebellion and the failure of the leaders. The kings, the priests, the rulers of Israel were often described as shepherds because they had been entrusted with the responsibility of guiding, protecting, and caring for God's people. Yet, instead of faithfully taking care of the flock, they used their own position for their own advantage. They fed themselves rather than the sheep. They neglected the weak. They failed to seek the lost, and they allowed the flock to become scattered and vulnerable. God's response reveals both his justice and his compassion. He holds the unfaithful shepherds accountable because he deeply cares for the sheep that have been mistreated. The failure of human shepherds does not cause God to abandon his people. Instead, God declares here, he says, "I myself will tend up for my sheep and have them lie down. I will search for my lost ones who have gone astray. I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." Notice the personal nature of God's words here. He does not say someone else is going to come and they are going to look after the sheep. He says, "I myself will tend my sheep." The shepherd's care is not detached or impersonal. He knows his sheep intimately and responds to their needs with compassion. He is not a shepherd who waits for the sheep to find their way home before caring for them. He goes after them. He is not a shepherd who expects the wounded to heal themselves before returning. He is the one who binds our wounds. He is not a shepherd who leaves the weak behind. He strengthens them. He sees us in our weakness. He meets us in our wandering and remains faithful when we have no strength of our own. Wherever you may find yourself today, the shepherd is near. Yahweh Rohi also reveals God's promises and covenants. Psalm 23 continues, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of the right paths for his name's sake." Notice the actions of the shepherd here. He makes, he leads, he refreshes, he guides. David's confidence is not found in the ability of the sheep. It is found in the character of the shepherd. Yahweh Rohi gives his sheep rest. The picture of green pastures and quiet waters is a picture of safety and peace. Sheep are naturally vulnerable animals. They are easily frightened, easily distracted, and unable to defend themselves from many dangers. A sheep will actually not lie down if it feels threatened. It will not rest if it is anxious or hungry or uncertain of its surroundings. Rest only comes when the sheep trusts that the shepherd is nearby, watching over the flock and providing for what is needed. This is the kind of rest that Yahweh Rohi offers and provides for his people. God's promise is not that his sheep will never encounter any difficulty, but that they can have peace because they are under the care of a faithful shepherd. The rest he provides is deeper than simply having a comfortable life or freedom from problems. It is actually the confidence that we do not have to carry every burden alone. It's the promise of his presence. The shepherd is aware of your needs, attentive to your struggles, and faithful to be able to care for you. In a world that constantly tells us to strive, achieve, and carry the weight of everything ourselves, Yahweh Rohi invites his sheep to rest in his presence. Yahweh Rohi invites us to release the burden of trying to be our own shepherd. Yahweh Rohi also restores his sheep. David says, "He refreshes my soul." In a different translation, it says, "He restores my soul." The shepherd does not discard his sheep when they become weary, injured, or lost. He restores them. He brings them back to strength and renews what has been broken. Hudson Taylor was a missionary who founded the China Inland Mission in 1865. Today, it's known as OMF International. And Hudson Taylor had experienced this type of restoration. After only 4.5 years of ministry, the demands of the work and the weight of responsibility had become too overwhelming. The needs of the mission, the challenges of reaching China with the gospel, and the constant pressure of the work left him physically and emotionally exhausted. He reached a point where he nearly suffered a breakdown. Now, during this season, a fellow missionary had written to him about the secret of abiding in Christ. And he says this, not striving or struggling, looking off unto him, trusting him for his present power. His friend reminded him that strength for ministry would not come from trying harder. And although ministry is great, it is important, but it doesn't come from ourselves, right? That comes through abiding in Jesus. And this truth had transformed Hudson Taylor. And reflecting on his friend's words, he wrote that a sentence in the letter was used to remove the scales from his eyes. That's the way that he had described it. His friend had written, but how to get faith strengthened? Not by striving after faith, but by resting in the faithful one. And as Taylor understood this truth, he saw that Christ himself was the only power for service and the only ground for unchanging joy. Hudson Taylor learned what David experienced in Psalm 23, that restoration comes when we stop trying to be our own shepherd and trust that the good shepherd cares for us. The shepherd does not ask his sheep to find their own strength, right? He provides what we need. He does not expect the weary to simply just keep on trying harder. He restores our souls. And this is the heart of Yahweh Rohi. He doesn't ask us to carry those burdens ourselves. He restores us by drawing us back to himself. When we are weary, he renews us. When we are overwhelmed, he carries what we cannot. When we have nothing left to give, he reminds us that our strength has always come from him. And Taylor had discovered that true restoration comes from resting in the faithfulness of the shepherd. Now, this was not a new truth. It was the same promise that God had revealed throughout Scripture. Long before Christ had come, Isaiah had described the heart of Yahweh Rohi, the God who does not merely lead his people, but the God who tenderly cares for them. It says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. He guides us and along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep can wander, and we are no different. We often choose our own way, trusting in our own understanding, only to discover, though, that our paths lead us away from where we need to be. Now, Yahweh Rohi was also present with the sheep in the valley. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. David does not say here, if I walk through the valley. He says, even though, right? The shepherd does not promise that we are not going to face any valleys or difficulties, seasons of grief, of suffering, of disappointment, of fear, of loss. Yet the hope of the sheep is not found in avoiding the valley. It is found in the presence of the shepherd who walks with them through it. In the ancient world, a shepherd's rod and staff represented his protection and guidance. The rod was used to defend the flock from danger, while the staff was used to guide, rescue, and support the sheep. David found comfort not because the valley was easy, but because the shepherd was with him. God does not abandon his people in difficult places. He does not lead his people to the edge of the valley and leave them there to find their own way. He walks with them. His presence is with us. Another story from a different person, Corrie ten Boom. She understood this truth in one of the darkest valleys imaginable. During World War II, Corrie and her family helped hide Jewish people from the Nazis, and because of their actions, they were arrested and sent to concentration camps. And she experienced unimaginable suffering, including the loss of her sister, Betsy, who had died at a concentration camp. Yet even in the depths of that suffering, Corrie came to know the presence and faithfulness of God. She became known for the words that she writes. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Her words reflected the reality that she had experienced. No darkness, no suffering, no place of brokenness was beyond the reach of God's presence. And that is the comfort of Yahweh Rohi. Throughout Scripture, God reveals himself as a shepherd who faithfully keeps his promises. He searches for them. He strengthens them. He walks with his people. But the shepherd's work is not finished. The same shepherd who cares for his flock today will one day gather his people into the fullness of his eternal promise. This is why Peter calls Jesus the chief shepherd, or the great shepherd, as it says in this translation. He writes, "And when the great shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor." Peter reminds believers that their shepherd is not only present in their suffering, he is coming again. The trials, the valleys, the hardships that we go through in this day and age are not the final chapter. They do not get the final say. The shepherd who has been faithful to lead his sheep will faithfully bring them into his promised inheritance. And the promise of Yahweh Rohi reaches its fullest expression in God's plan of salvation. God does not simply care for his sheep, he came to save them. Throughout Scripture, the image of sheep reveals both our dependence on God and our desperate condition without him. Scripture reveals that humanity has wandered away from God and cannot restore this broken relationship on our own. Our greatest problem is not simply that we lack direction. Our greatest problem is that we are separated from God because of sin. We do not simply need guidance, we need redemption. Isaiah describes our condition clearly. He says, "All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own." But in this same very verse, he reveals the heart of the shepherd. "Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." The good shepherd who did not sin, who did not stray away, he is the one who carries that. The good news of the gospel is that God did not look at the wandering sheep and decide, "You are no longer worth pursuing." He did not abandon humanity in our rebellion. He did not leave us to face the consequences of sin on our own. Yahweh Rohi came after his sheep. At the beginning, I had shared the diary entries of a sheep. The wandering sheep and the wolf gives us a picture of what Isaiah is describing. The danger did not begin when the wolf attacked. The danger had actually began when the sheep started believing that the shepherd's warnings was unnecessary. The wolf did not appear frightening at first. From a distance, he seemed harmless. The sheep could see no teeth, no immediate threat, no reason to be afraid. Yet with every step closer, the sheep had moved further away from the protection of the shepherd. And that's the same for us as well. This is how sin works in our lives. Sin rarely appears as destruction. It can come disguised, right, as freedom. It convinces us that the shepherd's commands are too restrictive, that God's boundaries are unnecessary, and that actually we know better, right, than the one who created us. It can whisper to us, "You can handle this. You're not really wandering. You can get close to danger, and you can still remain safe." But the sheep cannot see what the shepherd sees. We trust our own understanding over God's wisdom. And like the sheep in the diary, we convince ourselves that we are still close enough to return whenever we want. But we have gone our own way. Sin leads us away from the shepherd. And the tragedy of sin is that it wounds the very ones that it promises to satisfy. The sheep eventually discover that the shepherd had not been trying to restrict its freedom. He had, in fact, been trying to protect its life. But the wolf had deceived the sheep. But the shepherd had never stopped loving it. Now, when the sheep was wounded and unable to save itself, the shepherd did not leave it behind. He did not say to it, "You made your own choice. Now you must suffer the consequences of this alone." He defeated the wolf, lifted the sheep onto his shoulders, carried it home, and restored its wounds. Now, there are still consequences of our sin. But God did not leave humanity lost and without hope. In his loving and tender care, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus does not merely use the language of a shepherd. He reveals himself as a fulfillment of everything that God had promised through Yahweh Rohi. He declares, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Jesus is not a hired hand who protects the flock only when it's convenient. A hired worker runs when the danger comes because the sheep truly do not belong to him. So he doesn't really care. But Jesus does not abandon his sheep because we belong to him. He willingly lays down his life because his love for us is so great. The shepherd becomes the sacrifice for the sheep. The shepherd who came to rescue the sheep became actually the lamb who was sacrificed in their place. The cross reveals the deepest expression of Yahweh Rohi's love. Isaiah says that Jesus, or God at this time, was led like a lamb to the slaughter, willingly taking upon himself the punishment that we deserved. Jesus did not die because he had done anything wrong himself. He died because he had great love for us and came to win our salvation, to restore us and reconcile us to God. The shepherd who promised in Ezekiel 34 to search for a scattered sheep became the lamb who was sacrificed to bring those sheep back to God. Yahweh Rohi does not simply show his sheep the way home. He makes the way home possible. He has made a way for each and every single one of us. He rescues us because we are his. Now notice how Psalm 23 begins and how it ends. It begins in the pasture, with pastures and quiet waters. He restores weary souls. He guides the sheep along the right paths. Even when the path leads through the darkest valley, the shepherd never leaves. His presence gives courage. His rod and staff bring both protection and comfort. Then in verse 5, this imagery changes. David is no longer describing a shepherd caring for his sheep. He describes and pictures God as this gracious host who welcomes an honored guest into his home. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The enemies have not disappeared, but they no longer have the final word. So instead of living in fear, David sits down at the shepherd's table in complete security. Now, in this time and day, sharing a meal with someone was a sign of fellowship, acceptance, and protection. And once a guest was welcomed into a host home, the host assumed responsibility for that person's safety and well-being. And this is exactly what God does for his people. The shepherd does not merely help his sheep survive, he welcomes them into his presence. And God wants to do that for each of you. This overflowing cup is a picture of God's generous blessing. The anointing oil symbolizes honor, refreshment, healing, and joyful celebration. And everything that David describes points to a God whose provision is more than enough. Then David concludes with one of the greatest statements of confidence. And he says, "Surely your goodness and love," or mercy in some translations, "will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The word "follow" here doesn't fully capture the force of what the writer was actually trying to say. Many translations use the word "pursue." David is saying that God's goodness and steadfast love are not merely just trailing behind him. They are actually chasing after him. And the same God who pursues lost sheep also pursues us. Every day of David's life, God's goodness and mercy were actively seeking him, surrounding him, and faithfully keeping him until he safely brought him home. Now this points us to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. His desire is not to merely protect us for a season, but to bring us into an eternal relationship with himself. Through his life, his death, and his resurrection, he has made a place for you at his table. And he has opened the way for us to dwell in our Father's house forever. So my question for you, is who is shepherding your life. Every one of us is following someone or something. We are all listening to a voice that shapes our decisions, that directs our steps, or who influences us in the different paths that we take. Is it success? Is it approval? Is it comfort? Is it your own understanding? Or is it the voice of the Good Shepherd? Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Hudson Taylor, who we talked about earlier, the missionary to China, described his relationship this way. "The Lord is my shepherd, not was, not maybe, nor will be. The Lord is my shepherd. He is on Sunday and Monday and throughout every day of the week. He is in January and in December and every month of the year. He is at home and in China. He is during peace or war and in times of abundance or poverty." Church, the Good Shepherd is still calling, and his invitation is simple. Come to him, trust his voice, follow him. He is the shepherd who forgives, restores, carries the weary, and never abandons his own.